out what you're doing.
Looks interesting.
Okay. Well, I mean, we have not only the city, but also this advisory committee has received lots of good publicity, and because I think we are very proactive and try to drive towards the right outcomes and not make this a big, you know, process of sophisticated confusion. So we want to try to have a mature simplicity approach to all of this, make it very logical. And everything we've been reviewing so far is a high degree of logic and a lot of checks and balances so far. So I really don't think we need to go any further in terms of, you know, my stuff. So Linda, do you want to, you know, segue into the 540 part of the agenda?
Yeah, but you need to approve your minutes.
Ah, there you go. There's process. So the minutes were sent out. I printed them. Everybody should have received those. Any questions relative to the minutes? Any changes? And if not, I think it would be appropriate for somebody to make a motion to approve the minutes.
Make a motion to approve the minutes.
Thank you, sir. Okay, we have a second. Any questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. All right.
Okay, next item. So the format for tonight's meeting, you can see, is different from the usual. So we were asked to have a work session, and what I'd like you to do as a segue to that is, you know, we're working on code amendments to implement the plan that you recommended to the council. So the council in September of 2010 adopted the Downtown District Urban Design Plan and Implementation Strategy. And part of that strategy was to update the Springfield Development Code and the Downtown Refinement Plan to allow the things that are in the adopted vision plan for downtown. So staff being me, is working on trying to get some of this stuff done. So I'm going to be calling on the committee to really help me with that, because I need your help. And our consultants provided recommendations on a lot of items. If you remember back in 2010, you were given a document called the Appendix, and it had all these different development standards in there talking about active ground floor uses and transparency of windows, retail storefronts, building height recommendations, all of those kinds of things. And as you know, we already have a development code that covers downtown, and most of downtown is zoned downtown mixed use, and it's a pretty open mixed use zoning where just about, I'm not going to say just about anything can go in, but there are some uses that are prohibited. It's also in the nodal overlay district, which means it's really supposed to be a pedestrian focus in the downtown, and auto-oriented uses are prohibited. There are, you know, a number of auto-oriented uses like car repair and car sales and some other things, as you know, are in our downtown. They were pre-existing uses that were there before the latest code was adopted. So those uses can continue. They're called non-conforming uses. They're allowed to continue no matter what new code we end up having. But those uses would be assumed to transition over time as new development occurs and as somebody wants to redevelop their property. That's typically what happens with those. Some of them may go on for 20 more years. We don't know. What else? What I'm doing is, I'm not going to bore you with all the details of this. So on the agenda where it says we're going to talk about planning process overview, about the development code, I'm just going to pass this around because I did an analysis of all the existing standards that apply in downtown right now, and it's 30 pages long. And so you can see that's just bureaucratic, overly, you know, too much. So I'm just going to pass it around so you get a flavor. And there's a whole list in there of the mixed-use commercial. Most of downtown proper is zoned mixed-use commercial, and there's a whole laundry list of uses that are permitted, and they're all listed. That's the old way of doing codes. The newer way of doing codes is to have more of what we call a form-based code that talks about what the character is and what the physical what the physical dimensions of the buildings look like, how they relate to the street frontage, how they relate to the pedestrian, and building heights, massing. We still care about uses because there's certain uses that you probably still don't want to have. But it's not going to be as nitpicky, I hope, as this existing one. The intent is to have a user-friendly thing that a developer can see at a glance what's permitted and what's not.
So is there anything that Crandall or Rambula has proposed and put on their schematic that would be an issue as far as their current zoning?
I think the most significant change in what has been proposed thus far is, remember they had the idea of this retail area that was shown in red on these maps on your tables, and that the idea of that was to require that retail uses go in. So instead of allowing office space or residential, that the ground floor of those buildings really should have retail uses in it. But we also know that that's difficult to get, especially in this economy. So I think that would be the most significant change, is if we had some kind of an overlay or a subzone that said, you know, retail frontage required. Because I think that one could be something that people might not want to have on their properties. So just keep that in mind. The reason that the consultants recommended that, as you recall, was to have this critical mass of retail all clustered together. And our mixed-use commercial downtown, we've allowed all these other wonderful uses, I think, to go in, like the, you know, the schools down here and some other things, but that has actually occupied space that used to be retail space. So I don't have the magic number in my head right now, but there is a minimum number of critical mass that you need to have a functioning, healthy retail district in your downtown, and we don't have enough of that. So that's partly the reason that they recommended that action.
Linda, mm-hmm. Is your department then responsible for proposing to the city council that we want these zones changed?
Yes. So the next step would be staff will prepare a proposed zoning amendment and a proposed plan amendment. And that would be an amendment to the Metro Plan and an amendment to the Springfield Development Code. And those recommendations that come from the work that you do would be forwarded onto the Springfield Planning Commission, and then the Springfield Planning Commission would make their recommendation to the council. It doesn't have to go to Lane County because all of this is already in the Springfield city limits. So that simplifies it somewhat. But, you know.
So we don't have to deal with a comprehensive Metro type plan.
Well, it is a Metro Plan amendment, but it's just nobody else has to weigh in on it because they don't, you know, Eugene and the county don't care about what we do in our downtown. So they're not going to participate in that decision.
Okay.
So that's essentially how it works. And the time frame for this is kind of unknown right now because of all the different issues that we have and the staff commitments. But I'm hopeful that we can move forward with a proposal sometime by spring and at least get and start having work sessions. And one of the things I wanted to talk about with this, with your committee tonight, is thinking about how we want to do outreach to the public, how we want to roll this thing out to the public. Because remember, we haven't done that. We haven't had public hearings. Typically what we'll do is once we have a draft proposal, we'll have a community open house, usually in this room or somewhere in City Hall, where we invite everybody in. We have notices in the paper. That's kind of the typical way we do it. The committee may have some other ideas about what you'd like to have. So
with that in mind, do you want, because we have talked about this before, do you want to wait until you have your recommendations together relative to the zoning?
Yes.
So that we can bring it all into an integrated, you know, presentation?
It will all be brought into an integrated presentation, yes. So all these little work sessions that I'm going to do with the committee is just to move those concepts forward and to get more input from you at each step of the way. And then I'll be preparing, you know, written documents, plan documents that encompass all of that.
Okay. Do you want to review the existing land use code and where there's any, you know, conflict as far as Crandall or Rambula now, and if you do want to do that, should you come over here and use a pointer, or just, you know, kind of, so we can all gather around the table and you can do it that way before we go to the breakout part, or how do you want to?
I don't think we really need to do that.
Okay.
Like I said, right now the code, the existing use is pretty open. It's just downtown mixed use. There's a little bit of mixed use residential. There's a couple lots that have mixed use residential, but for the most part, it's what we call MUC, mixed use commercial.
Okay.
And I'm not going to go over what all the standards are for that, but as we finalize what you want to have, then we'll compare that with what we have now.
Do you see any pushback in terms of citizens if we did have this public meeting relative to the zone changes that we're going to be talking about that are logical relative to the plan itself?
I think so, for sure, because we've already, you know, we've had some pushback from people already because they want to have more auto-oriented uses or a use that's not permitted in the zone. That condition always is out there. You know, one can hope that everybody's going to be on board with this thing, but, you know, it's going to take some, it may take some compromise to get close to the vision that you guys have endorsed.
So before we go into the, you know, the breakout part of this, John, do you want to, do you have any observations or, you know, stories of process or what's happened subsequent to the last meeting that we've had together?
Well, just a couple of comments. I think Linda is quite correct. We're probably going to get some pushback. There's at least three, four auto-oriented businesses out there right now that would could not go in. And the difficulty we have as a city is that people come in, sign leases, go into the building, and start up without coming into the front counter. Sometimes they make changes to the building without building permits. And so the council in the past has said, you know, we'll go in and make some changes. But when people are facing huge economic losses because they got a five-year lease, we usually try and talk them out of that five-year lease and get the owner or the agent to try and make an adjustment or void the lease. That doesn't always work out. And so we're in some cases looking at businesses and saying, well, you can't go in there, and we're not going to be going in and destroying a business because it's in the wrong location like that. If it were something that was creating a legal problem, yes, but from a zoning standpoint, it's hard for the council to make that kind of a push when it's already occurred. When it's a pre-existing use and we're looking at the future part of it, then in this area what we might end up doing is we have a, in the gateway area, we have what's called a business, I'll call it a land use compatibility statement that we ask anyone that comes in a requirement to do that so that we actually can keep tabs on the uses that are actually in the buildings that might be out there. That may be something that, in addition to whatever Linda's doing here on the design portion, maybe something that we might want to do in this downtown area where we'd like to see the changes occur in the future. So you don't end up with more of those businesses relocating. But I think for the most part, we got some vacants. I'm just checking the leases that are out here. We have four auto-oriented businesses, actually five, on like four parcels. And, you know, those I think will probably be, give us some pushback. And there's some vacant areas as to where you might want to see retail. And it's retail. Banking is not retail. Office uses like City Hall and Nedco are not retail. And so those are some of the things that we'd be looking at over time. We'd want to see some adjustment of that happen. And that's the hard part as you go from a strictly retail-oriented, people going in and out buying things, to office uses, which is a little different than what we usually see for commercial activity.
So for businesses like Springfield Buick and Lithia, these would come in as non-conforming use, and as long as the character is maintained, then they would be...
They would stay there.
They can continue.
Yeah. And for some, they may stay there, you know, much longer than this plan is actually in place. You know, and oftentimes they work out quite well. You know, the Nedco activities, there's a beauty school in there. That's not really a retail, except that they do have people coming in and out using the beauty school. And so that's a very active spot, but it's a change of use. And actually, the beauty school is one of those targeted to become the plaza. So we hope to displace them perhaps to another building nearby where they could still operate and keep the ground floor as that active area that we like to see.
So. I'm passing around another handout, so that 30-pager. that you'll eventually see. I'm hoping that we're going to get to something more like this, which is a two or three pager. This is the proposed code for the Glenwood Refinement Plan area that we're working on. So it's real more general categories. It still lists uses, so you get a flavor of what that subdivision would be. But it's much more open, and it's not dictating every little
details. So last question. Before we do the breakout part of this, is there anything else that you want to share with us that's happened since we last met? We've had some community events. I know some of the, what was the School of Architecture?
Charette.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, Charette.
Charette. So anybody here on the committee attend any of these, any observations? John, do you want to, I mean, let's just spend, 5 minutes or so just talking about this.
They looked at the Main Street block by block. I think it was 4 to 6 blocks. They looked at both sides of the street. The group went out, I think it was 2 blocks for each one of the tables that were out there. And they went out, we actually walked the 2 blocks we were looking at and made observations about changes and came back and then wrote down what we thought might be changes that we'd like to see that would improve the whole area in those each of those blocks. And then there was a presentation afterwards by each of the groups. And I think there are actually 2 groups that worked on each set of blocks. So you have a different set of people looking at it with different sets of eyes looking at the same issues. And then the compilation hasn't may have just appeared, I think, the last couple of days.
Yeah, the final report just came out, and I know that they want to present that, I think, to the City Council, possibly sometime in March. Is that what we're looking at? Mm-hmm. So they're going to be setting up a work session for that. The Council's very interested in that. And then do you want to talk about the design committee and how we're going to...
One comment was that I think a lot of the recommendations through the charrette were pretty low-cost, effective ways to actually make differences immediately on the street.
Right. Yes.
And I think that's really, really important because...
They were mostly, I think, owner could finance them himself, and they didn't seem to be very expensive changes.
Like
sometimes painting some little minor changes around a window or just blocking things off that were inconsistent with the rest of the facade. It was surprisingly how simple most of the stuff was.
Have any of those projects been initiated?
No, I think there wasn't enough time to go over everything in each one of the groups, so everyone's been waiting for the compilation to come out.
Okay.
They have a comprehensive view as to what, you know, what might be for each of the buildings, and then maybe some choices as to what might be done on each building, for example. I'm looking forward to it. The summary report, the existing conditions, was kind of cool, you know, just seeing that in 30 pages.
Anybody other observations? One of the neat things, I think, is what NEDCO is doing with the old Christian church. That's pretty cool. And I know that the Springfield Rotary Club has accepted that as a main project. So there's going to be a lot of horsepower and some money brought to the table.
Yeah, I haven't heard that. That's great.
Yeah. Grand for kitchen equipment.
It was interesting. There was another, I think it was a Walnut Lane based project, but there were 2 alternatives, and it was a tie vote, and the president said, we're doing this.
Okay.
So that'll be, that's going to be a really great project.
And the Sustainable Cities Year projects are underway in this area. One of them is there's like 5 groups looking at the Booth Kelly, which is across the tracks, so it's a little out of this area. In this group that just met either yesterday or today, I think it was today, and they're starting the wayfinding project. We have a large report, a visitor's readiness report that we had a consultant come in, funded by the county, to look at how people find their way to Lama Lane, to restaurants, to any of the attractions that we might have, including the murals that we have out here, or City Hall, or whatever. And we don't really have a comprehensive inventory or way of finding your way to those things from the portals as you drive into the city. And so that group is going to come up over the next 2 terms, probably in late May or June, with a plan to put all of that together so that we can now follow up with some of the projects that we need to do after that.
Last question. Annie, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm going to ask a snotty question because I've heard this outside of our group. Can you confirm or deny that one of the main plans for Booth Kelly that's being batted around is a brew pub?
We actually talked to a brewing company who was interested in the site.
Mm-hmm.
And they were excited about the buildings. They said, well, it's a little complicated. And I said, well, don't worry about the buildings. We can always remove buildings or add buildings. Those are a couple of things. The biggest barrier for them is the railroad tracks. The entrance to Booth Kelly is disrupted so frequently by the trains, long trains, and too many of them nowadays, that they couldn't get their operations to work sufficiently across the railroad tracks. So one of the other projects with one of the, at least two of the groups is to solve that for me. I've got a couple of solutions that are a little bizarre, but nothing that seems to work. Catapults, parking garages on both sides.
And if you're connecting it to the bed, she's going to be down there.
I can get down there.
I actually looked at working on a brew pub at one point where you could not transport, from a brew pub, you could not transport beer to a consumption place. You could brew it, but you couldn't actually bring it to a pub. And so what we were going to do is pipe it underground across the street to a place where we could actually have a bar. Because one had to be industrial, and the other one could be a commercial operator.
Well, you know, they used to do that with septic tanks up the river.
Yeah. That's right.
Underneath the highway.
So they,
Andy, I know we've
had right
several inquiries about the brew.
I just heard
over there. So there's interest.
There is.
Is
that
something you'd want or you didn't want?
I'm into it.
Yeah.
Right
down
the hill.
I was hoping it was the church, you know, the one that would have been awesome.
And if you haven't been out to the restoration project, it is so much bigger than I thought it was going to be. And as we continue, Lamaline continues to work with the city and some possible improvements out there, it is going to be a magnet to downtown. We have to figure out how we get it there.
Yeah.
And if the brew pub is part of that equation to have a place that can look out across this natural area, there was eagles out there the other day.
Yes.
And, you know, there will be lots of osprey and there will be lots of other birds. And it is going to be an amazing, amazing place. I mean, it is going to be another change right here once that becomes fully restored and we start seeing some recreational trails and benches and places for people to sit and enjoy that. It is just, it's amazing. I will also tell you, because I've got a dinner engagement tonight. I'm sorry, I'm going to miss
fine.
The
I'm
most important.
I'm trying to get out of here a little earlier,
So anyway, the other part is that we did get confirmation, because I'm tying this to our economic development path. We did get confirmation that the next phase will be done this next summer. We'll be building that.
Wow.
And I don't want to get the cart out in front of the horse, but we're very, very confident that we're going to get the final phase done the next year with some additional funding that looks like it's coming down the pike. So we will be connecting Clearwater to Doris Ranch over the top, and then the district is really excited about working with the city on connecting the Millrace Trail up one in the next few years all the way back out, so you have an 8-mile loop. Now, you put a brew pub, you put a natural area, and if we can find a way to have a connection over there, you've got a new hot spot in this community that people are going to want to come to.
And then you name it beer after the reserve.
There you go. You got it. So I just, the bridge.
Knowing the successful Lamaline has had and doing what they said they're going to do, it's pretty cool.
We reviewed the draft comprehensive plan for Lamaline this morning, and the plaza shows up in the plan. It's pretty exciting to see these ideas all merge in the
Comment by Jim, and then I've got one more question. So, Jim?
Yeah, the charrette, I'd like to shed a little more light on what those young people did. They did a lot more comprehensive things than just wayfinding. They actually got into structural things where to improve and enhance the appearance of buildings as well. And they provided input from that point of view. Lighting was something that was very important inside and out. And, of course, wayfinding to find these places is equally as important. But that created a conversation which leads into, and then John, a building registry where people come in and they're starting up. Sometimes in the past, they've just showed up, started business, and nobody even knew they were there as far as the city was concerned. So the question was, is how does compliance happen? And a building registry was the answer to that, is to implement a building registry thing. So it seems like conversations have a way of leading into stuff. And it was a really a very grateful process that goes. They have very forward thinking and new ideas, and it was refreshing. It really was. One of the things I'd like clarified, just to be sure that I'm absolutely correct, that I'm not taking it for an assumption. Now, when properties or buildings change hands, are they just because they've been of a land use indication for this purpose in the past, when new ownership occurs, how does that fall? Are they subject to the new stuff, or are they going to be grandfathered in?
As long as the use continues, so the ownership could change, but if a restaurant still is a restaurant, it doesn't have to go through another approval process unless they're going to do a significant remodel of the facility that includes exterior improvements or parking, those types of things. If it's all interior to the building, they would just go through a building permit process, plumbing and wiring permits, that sort of thing. But if a use is discontinued, I believe it's for 6 months, then it's an abandoned use, and then any new use that would go in would be triggering a land use review to make sure that it's consistent with the new plan.
Yeah, I think that pretty well covers it as far as that's concerned. Now, if the original configuration and intent of the building is preserved by a new owner, they're not necessarily going to have to comply with the new regulations. Is that what you're saying?
Well,
but if they make major
code,
changes,
yes,
and they change their venue and they're coming at it from a from an entirely different operation, I mean, it's kind of either or where are we on
it,
that?
It just depends on how much improvement's going to be done to the facility as to what kind of land use approval is triggered by that. But I don't want to get into all the details of that. We have a process called minimum development standard, so it's pretty insignificant really what they have to do. As far as new development standards being triggered, it does require a change of use or an intensification of use.
Well, the reason I bring this up is we daydream these regulations and they get sorted out as according to their importance and need. I think it's very important that we all realize that maybe the utopia is too hard to reach, and our intent is to go there, but we may not exactly reach it, but we'll try as hard as we can.
Right. And I can tell you that the city really likes to have, well, we have to have a regulatory approach, but we also like to have an incentives-based approach. And that's where the work that the Main Street Committees comes in, and we're talking about facade improvement programs and some of these other things that can happen to assist building owners with trying to do the right thing to improve their buildings, so that it's not just a regulatory, you got to go do it. So there has to be a balance and hopefully lots of options for folks.
It's a half a stick and reward.
One last question. Can you give us an update on the transportation study?
Sure. The transportation study is underway, and I heard yesterday that Kittleson Associates actually met with Crandall Arambula up in Portland to talk about, and I'm not in that project, so I talked to Courtney this morning. She said she didn't really have an update on that right now, but they're working on it.
Does it look like we're going to be able to pull this baby off?
I don't know. Yeah, I haven't seen any of the analysis. All I saw was what was at that council work session a couple weeks ago.
You know, because so much is predicated on that two-way traffic. All right, so what is the process that you want us to go through in terms of the breaking out and reviewing
the
maps?
Well, I created three groups, A, B, and C, because I was expecting more people to show up tonight. But I also knew that it would probably people would kind of self-filter if they weren't really interested in getting into the weeds on some of this stuff, so maybe that's what's happening. So anyway, I don't know what the best way to do it is, but I had three groups. The group over there was going to be looking at sub-district boundaries, so I'm just going to tell you what I mean by that. So right now we have one downtown refinement plan area, and it encompasses all of the core of Main Street. Oh, actually, it's over here. The core downtown area, it includes the Booth Kelly area down here, but that's essentially the boundaries of the downtown refinement plan. And this is the comprehensive plan, not the zoning.
The one in place.
Yeah, and so the Crandall-Rambula plan that we're calling it the Crandall-Rambula plan still, right? It recommends bringing in a few parcels of land into the refinement plan that aren't currently in the plan. I think that's a really good idea, but staff's going to be doing some more analysis, and we'll be bringing that back to you to take another look at it. But if you remember that site where they showed parking and a possible grocery store, retail hotspot, that would have to be added. It's not in the refinement plan right now, so that would have to be added to the refinement plan. I don't think there'd be any resistance to that, but you never know. That land, I didn't bring the zoning map, but I believe that land is already zoned mixed use residential.
I believe so, yeah.
And that was from a really old plan called the East Kelly Butte Plan, which is another plan that's immediately to the north.
So that table is just going to be for people that are interested in the sub-district boundaries?
Yes, and what I want everybody to think about, and I know we don't have to have the table discussion if we don't have enough folks, but I'd like you to think about, do we want a one-size-fits-all kind of development standards, or do we want to have maybe two or three different areas that have different standards? What I'd like to say is Booth Kelly, I don't really want to propose anything for that right now because we have people working on it, and I'd really rather not touch that part of the code. But what I'd like to do is to pull the Booth Kelly code that's now its own chapter into the whole downtown plan district code, but kind of leave it alone for now and not have us spend a whole lot of time on it.
Yeah. The Booth Kelly is like the anything goes zone.
Yeah.
Because it's so big and there's so many places you can locate it, may never have an impact on someone else. So
right. From
housing to industrial to commercial, it's really broad.
And
so
the other, go ahead.
This table is to, what's the task here?
Well, just I have to back up one little thing. So the other reason that I had this on the table is that we had talked about, do you want to have the same kind of development standards and rules for development along, for example, your historic Main Street as you would have for this new area down by the river, the Mill Plaza site? The Crandall-Rambula made some recommendations about building heights, and they're on this table here that address some of that. But I just want you to think about that, because we could have two different sub-districts that would have different standards for those. I mean, if you're thinking about really preserving old buildings and building new buildings that really fit in with that scale, you might want to have a sub-district down on the other end that maybe allows something different from that. So it's something that I've been thinking about, but we haven't really discussed it as a committee. So it was helpful to...
And that's related to this?
Yeah, but it's kind of related to all of them. But the idea, I think if you're working on building heights, which is this table, and this table will be working on retail frontages and active frontages. Both of those things relate to whether or not you're going to have two sub-districts or one district that has the same code for everything. So maybe when you're done working, you can come over here and draw some lines on a map after you've looked at it.
Okay, so who wants to go to Table A, or Group A, be part of Group A?
Which is?
Subzone boundaries.
Land use? Does that mean land use?
That's what I just talked about. Yeah. You know, here's Booth Kelly, you know.
Okay. Anybody else? So we need more than Ted over there.
Hell yes.
And we need Ted on the architecture part, too.
How about the active frontages, ground floor, retail, build a line? Okay.
You know what, since we have so few people, why don't we just spend some brainstorming time on each one? You can go
around. It seems to me that we're not going to get enough participation by breaking this, so we should probably try to, you know.
Do a musical workshop, musical.
If you did that one first, I think some of the issues that come up as you're looking at designs will have effect on that one.
So the whole group will just rotate.
And then you might end up with a comment on this one, or you may just forget about it until another meeting. But those two, I think, would be linked.
Facilitator, our staff.
Well, someone needs to volunteer from the committee to facilitate. I mean, I have a list of questions here, so all you have to do is read the question and then take some notes.
Okay, Robin.
And I can help out with just showing you things on the.
So she's going to facilitate as we rotate from table to table?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Can we mark on this?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Let's start with
that. Just kind of like to put a line around off of that onto the washroom.
And these drawings here are what I really want to mark out. Because these drawings.
So you're welcome to look over people's shoulders, Tom.
Thank you.
Fran Lorraine that did these, they gave to us at the draft. And
as long as you bring somebody over.
So if you look at this and say, well, they're showing in green here where you want to have 70% transparency. That means 70% of the building frontage will be windows. But they're not showing that over here. If you think that's a good idea, you could go ahead and mark that.
So what are the parts that come roll over aggressive on their section? Is the plaza? I do think that, yes, retail is highly important. I can see three of the side view retail. But I don't think the far end on Mill Race, is it, or Mill Street, is needed to be retail. You can have offices, you can have anything.
I think they suggested a hotel.
See, and that's not retail.
Right.
But if you have ground floor retail, and most hotels you want to have, if it's that kind of an urban hotel.
So you would encourage it,
you would have
but
shops.
It doesn't have to be mandatory. Mm-hmm. And the idea is you could have offices there.
That's what Brian is doing over the district.
Exactly. Yeah. I think part of the intention of this development is to give it enough scale where it has some sense of enclosure and plaza, but it doesn't have to be retail.
Yeah, if you have three sides that are retail, it's going to motivate that other side to be a retail. But the idea of zoning it and make it too absolute, it shouldn't be so mandatory.
So does that encompass Island Park?
So here's where they said
professional buildings over there.
It's Island Park, yeah. Those are all down.
Well, I mean the old Island Park Professional Center.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's down in.
Yeah.
This building was actually part of that complex.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
These three were not. This is the
Dahlquist.
Dahlquist, the auto-oriented. There was a. There were two carpenter shops here, actually, two large sheds.
That's one of our oldest building sections of history.
Was.
Yeah.
It's gone. the case for the drift boat was actually built in that building. That was the last thing, and then they tore it down shortly afterwards.
We'll just throw this out. It might be a good place for our library.
See, that's why it would be good to know.
That was another one of the student programs, was the case of the new library.
Right.
We didn't get a chance to look at that one.
In fact, they'll be out here displaying all their models February 7th.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
great,
open to the public.
Scheduled. Excellent.
That's the one that you, Ted, went to.
Yeah. So, in the idea of dealing with ancient, or dealing with Roman stuff, is when you have the three sections of retail and being able to stare off at the head and be in a public building or like the library or a significant office space or whatever, it makes it more exciting for people to want to be in that spot. Kind of heightens the level.
So what, remind me again what the purple is in terms of use?
Purple employment. So typically office employment kinds of uses.
Yeah, their diagram showed about a 7-story building, and our suggestion from staff early on was that's a little too high. You don't want to be above the trees. You want to be below the trees and not try and dominate all that area with that large building.
And is grocery considered retail?
Yes.
Okay. I was just thinking on the other side of the parking.
Yeah, but typically you look at something either larger or you look at what you call convenience stuff, which is like oriented dairy marts and that sort of thing, which we have up
drawing.
In this area.
And remember, they were drawing this based on how much money is going to be generated by the development. It wasn't just what's nice to have. It's about what's going to pay for all this
stuff. And critical mass of numbers of people.
That's why I brought this as a reminder.
You know, one of the things that we've talked about on an ongoing basis is to make sure that these proposals and proposed uses, which are part of the proposals, obviously, tie into the reality of what a developer feels is feasible. Because we might have a great plan, and somebody might come in and say, it ain't going to work for this reason, this reason, this reason. So I think we want to make sure that we always address some reality from that standpoint.
And you can see from this site they're proposing just to have some retail shops probably in the corners of that, and that this would be your lobby.
But how many square feet would that be if you looked at that purple office use area?
Well, this Mill Street office and retail, 160,000 square feet of office, 14,000 square feet of retail, and 329 parking spaces. So we have structured parking, obviously, something like that.
Was the idea that that would then invigorate the plaza? I mean, the people that would be working there would energize and use the shops and the you know, the restaurants and whatever we put in that plaza area?
Yes, and the plaza would be an amenity for that building, for that development. That would be one of the reasons that they would want to go in, is because the city and hopefully Willamette Lane would also partner in making this active urban park plaza space happen. So they saw that as the area that had the most significant economic development potential.
And
in our downtown.
Just as an example, when we were looking at this area being the location of the new courthouse, we actually contacted the property owners around here and we said, would you be willing to redevelop your properties if someone came in with this development and purchased them from you? Would you be interested? This owner said no. These owners said yes. These owners said yes. And so what we're looking at is blocking the street off, actually making this a plaza for the courthouse. It also serves as security in that case. But that would be similar to having the same thing here with a large development with that around it. Mm-hmm. And they were looking at putting in retail and restaurants and, you know, we buy flowers and other things that you would typically have if you're an active operation with a lot of higher incomes. Earned by the employees up there.
Did the Chambers family even said what they wanted to do with that weird square?
Yes. Went to that.
So
they want to build something?
Yeah, they might even have housing on the top floor too, but they're looking at four stories at a minimum, but they said they need to have a client that wants to locate in the spot. Mm-hmm. Without a client, they won't build a spec.
We can help them find
it. It seems like retail helps in the fact that at night all these people go home. But if there's something here that can police the area, I mean, just having eyes on the street and activities, it seems to really help the idea of.
But does it have to be? I mean, when it comes to the red spots, does it have to say retail, or can it say retail or? You know, like office or something like that?
Well, right now, we do already require ground floor retail.
Well, I think it's no different than Oakway Mall, you know, where you've got the, they have office over there. Yeah. They've got the Umpqua Bank building. They've got some offices on the second floor. And then they've got that integrated with, you know, pure retail and then, you know, the restaurants. Again, it comes down to, you know, a developer being able to amortize, you know, the investment. And the plaza, I think, is going to be a, you know, significant opportunity, because if they didn't have all that open area that they incorporated as far as Oakway Mall, it would never be as interesting to go and, you know, visit.
Well, I got to say, it's just the three sides, and I believe 100% should be retail owner. But I was just playing with the idea of that.
Now, I'm going to have to get in here somewhere because this is going to move on pretty soon. But one of the things here, you mentioned about closing the street. One of Grendel and Arandula's ideas was to make a main bicycle pedestrian access through here to the other side of the river. And it would go all the way down A Street, North A. And so closing that off would create a, you can do that.
It was a different proposal.
Yes, I understand. But everything has its consequences, is the point I want to make here on this. Now, there's been many, many conversations that I'm aware of that have occurred about this property right down here. And one of the more interesting ones here for the use of that. Now, when Carolyn Chambers had it, she's only interested in office space. And that was a given conclusion that you're not going to talk her into doing anything other than office space. But what if you could find somebody that would be interested in a dual use of having part of the high rise that you're referring to along this area here in office space, the other part of it hotel space, because people that come in to do the offices a lot of time are going to want to stay over, and what a great situation that would be right down here, especially with the development plans that Willamette Lane has for down here. They want to turn this into a garden down here that would have year-round bloom. And all of this would overlook that, as well as the river. So as far as talking about the mill race being a hot spot, this really is a super hot spot. And I don't know how far that those conversations got, but I'm throwing it out on the table here as an alternative to the things that are commonly considered, because ho-hum, we see retail space everywhere. We've got to create something that is really exciting, different, that captures people's imagination and creates a need and a desire to frequent this area here. Now, you hit on a very important point here of having an overview at night. Now, if you have a hotel restaurant complex, the restaurant part of it looking out over this, and I'm talking about something like Valley River Inn or the really nice areas here on this west side that looks out over the park and into the river, and then the higher rises looking over the trees, and get the view of Glenwood and all of that out in there for the hotel area with the office spaces down here. The retail then takes advantage of the plaza and all of that. So when you look at it from that point of view, is this generating the excitement and the attraction to like a magnet to attract the money?
Not necessarily.
Because somebody's going to have to come in here that's got really deep pockets, that sees the future clearly. And
he's
then all of
shoulder.
These other businesses jump in. So I'll bow out at that point.
Hey, let me get back to our tasking questions for Group B. First questions are the proposed retail frontages in the right places, yes or no?
So, Shannon, just a comment on, you know, three sides around the plaza. If we look at what's out there right now, of the opportunities, yes, you can convert these, you can convert that. There's buildings here, we'd have to remove those, that's one part of it. There are residential buildings here that will probably last for some time. These are, I'll say, still up for grabs. This could be converted to retail, and this area could be converted to retail. So if you anticipate that this is going to take some time to go away,
right,
or be bought out, then maybe this becomes the three sides, and this eventually gets forced into a different use at some point in the future.
Through the discussion, I also thought, okay, no matter what happens, you got to have three sides be the plaza. Be the retail. The reason why is if you start having too many sides that are dominant commercial, those people go home at 5 o'clock. That leaves a dead thing. You have a plaza where people are just doing drugs, selling and stuff like that. You need something that's vibrant after 5 o'clock,
yep,
even if it's 6 o'clock or 7.
Intensity of use.
And you know, the
Eyes on the area.
The key for the retail, I mean, the only people that are going to want to put retail in are people that are wanting to have customers, obviously. And so there's got to have a magnet to attract people to that area so that they'll avail themselves of the retail. Now, if it was, you know, hotel or office space, I mean, clearly, you know, office workers will go and, you know, let's go have a drink after work, you know, let's go out for lunch, let's, you know, do a little shopping on our lunch hour. I mean, that's a huge, you know, deal.
Yeah, but those are daylight hours. The hotel and the restaurant are going to take care of the alive after five part.
Yeah, I agree. But, you know, the thing is, again, we just need to look at some of the feasibility. And that was the question I was going to talk to John about, because Richard Boyles at one point was looking at property, you know, to do a civic center, you know, down
that
here.
That would be reasonable.
So, John, what were those discussions all about? And I don't think they ended up, obviously, they didn't end up going anywhere, but there was certainly a lot of energy at one time.
Well, the conference center we're looking at was going to be about 50,000 square feet, a little bit bigger than the Eugene Conference Center right now, maybe as large as 60. Not a convention center, which is like 150,000 square feet, but it would have it has to have at least 250 rooms of hotel next to it in order for it to really work. And they looked at this area. We looked at Glenwood on a long number of spots on Glenwood, and they looked at Gateway. And as a result of a lot of examination, but you don't put a conference center where you don't have all the supportive things around it. This doesn't have the hotel piece that would be necessary. You need 250 rooms in a hotel. That's really big for
this
area. Mm-hmm. That's huge for this area. We've got a couple of them up in the Gateway area with 155, 160 rooms, and they're 10 stories, 9 stories, 8 stories tall. They're pretty big, pretty big buildings. That would dwarf everything else around here.
Right.
Also, the site is way too small. This is about 4 acres if you could have this whole piece right here, and that's a really tight site for a hotel and a convention center.
Right.
A conference center, I'm sorry. Really tight. You can do it. Salem did it on a block and a half, but they have a two-story conference center, and that's rather unusual, as it turns out. So,
I think your Parkway is that. I mean, most of the rooms in Springfield are out of Gateway, and
the more you have, the better.
Now you have the rapid
BRT.
Bus transit to get back and forth. It helps that out a little bit, as well as any Eugene traffic.
We looked at it and we said, okay, the site that we prefer, and we look at all the other things, don't be like a salmon and fight your way upstream the entire time, but find a spot that really is the best place for that to go. And their conclusion was in the Gateway area.
Yeah. So. Well, and go ahead. Sorry, John.
Cultural and education in terms of these blocks down here. What would be a definition? I'm wondering if these could mix at all, if there could be some continuation of this retail that actually goes a couple of more blocks, or this mixes with this or something. Mm-hmm. So you don't have this, and then it stops, and you have a whole lot of something else.
So cultural typical uses, performing arts center and theater, conference and convention center, educational facility and institution, so the A3 and all that, galleries, commercial uses, cinema, salons and spas, lodging, eating and drinking establishments, arts and crafts, supply, retailers.
So a little bit of that is
typical.
Could be retail
as
well.
And then your ground floor retail, what they call typical permitted uses, would be shoes and apparel, magazines and books, home accessories, grocery, eating and drinking establishments.
They're thinking like Northwest 23rd in Portland. Mm-hmm. This is four or five blocks with lots of stuff happening on them. It just keeps the foot traffic going on its own, just because it's such an interesting area.
And these buildings, you know, are limited because of the scale of them and the length, you know, the depth of the building. Mm-hmm. Doesn't meet the format for a lot of modern retailer uses. So the idea of having this down here is that you could have some development area for some of those types of retailers, including chain retailers from outside the community, because people want those.
My only squeamish is the cultural being, hopefully that'll not be absolute, because we do have some good businesses that are at least keeping what I consider the downtown still in downtown.
What's the, obviously it's not retail, what's the adult dance scene to fall under? Because, I mean, how can you write it where we don't want that?
That was an eating and drinking establishment, if it has a liquor.
Hospitality.
To answer your question, are these red buildings right around the plaza here appropriately for this concept that's being advanced? My comment to that is yes, they are. But I'm having a little trouble believing that the Hilton and its facilities wouldn't fit on this plot right here, just as it is, in, except the red areas. You know, that would have to be all purple. The site of that Hilton and what everything that it does would more than fit on that. There's a lot of rooms in there, and it isn't going to take anything away from the gateway area. In fact, as you pointed out, the bus traffic coming in here and the ease of getting off of I-5 from Glenwood to this location is, I mean, it's accessible, and it certainly is a bullseye.
But I think there'd have to be other reasons other than it's a nice scenic location, you know, with a nice piece of dirt for them to do that. And that kind of ties into...
Well, I didn't mean the Hilton.
Oh, I understand. But any boutique, hotel, because looking at the, the build-out cost and whatever else.
Well, what they're interested in is turnover. They're interested in deep turnover and money being spent. And if this is properly designed with a traffic turnover and properly marketed, I think you can meet that test.
So when it comes to the retail sections on your first question.
Mm-hmm. Are the proposed retail frontages in the right place?
Yes, or no? I think yes.
Any comments about the store in particular, because it's pushed away, or does that make sense?
For me,
I think it's close to the neighborhood, so yeah. Right? The idea is that it's right next to that.
I love the idea that my only comment would be the architectural issue, because that's why I like our
That's right.
We'll talk about that next meeting.
Mine too, but I think it's appropriate.
And the parking is absolutely critical to this whole equation.
Getting in off Minor Parkway is great.
Because parking, I mean, developers hate to pay for parking, because there's no revenue. You know, you kind of have to have it in order to, site your building. But you take a look at Oakway Mall right now, there's no parking over there. So there's a plan, to build a, parking structure, but it's a lot of cost with no, return, other than, trying to attract and keep, tenants, because they obviously need to have a place for their customers to park. But it's a lot of sunk costs. So the more that we can do as a city to address that, the better. Because I know that that was one of the issues that Carolyn had in talking with, what's her daughter's name?
Silva.
Yeah. Was the, the parking stuff.
So what was the second question you had?
Are the proposed active edges, quote unquote, in the right places?
I still think the washroom is too far.
Cut off.
Well, so if I want to go to the grocery and I live here, I don't want to walk across Pioneer Parkway.
We'll take it away.
And if I want to go down to the retail area in the evening, I have to walk past all of this abandoned civic property. I don't mean abandoned. I mean
So does this plan address that?
5th Street, 4th Street, or beautiful but desolate civic property.
So the closest grocery store is really the Safeway and Pioneer Parkway, isn't it?
The one out at Centennial.
Dairy Mart.
The closest full service grocery. We said the grocery warehouse thing, and it's not full service.
I mean, I Glenwood. I think they could support one, but I just think it needs to be more walkable. And I don't mean to necessarily zero in, but I just feel like the...
So you'd rather have it up here where the school is?
Well, and I'm not necessarily picking on the grocery store, but
for encouraging, so 23rd up in Portland, mm-hmm. you know, you go half a block around the corner and there are people that live there and you know they walk to 23rd twice a week.
But one thing about 23rd up there, one of the most exciting things up there is driving around the block 15 times trying to find that one parking spot. And then you finally drive somewhere else. But that automobile traffic really adds a lot of motion and buzz.
It does.
And it's, same thing happens in Pike Place. It's not something that, I mean, I know it's anathema to talk about cars around here and downtown, but I think you have to think about that.
But in neither of those situations, because there's a lot of housing built right on top of Pike Place as well, those folks, there's no Death Valley between the destination and where you live. There's no, you know, dark block
That's
you're
a good
walking
point.
Across.
But we also have
this, this is Death Valley for you.
Yeah.
Where would you put a grocery store?
So like a food hub might be, you know. But I'm just wondering if, you know, if the retail really needs to run up this way or if it needs to run up this way, which obviously the Justice Center is an issue, or if it needs to run up this way, or just something to get these folks here or
so
over
put the
here.
The library above the
Once you're in C Street, once you're in C, beyond C Street, you're right. fully in the Washburn neighborhood.
The most valuable spot is between Pioneer West and
so
East.
Any kind of mix really starts to kind of happen where branch engineering is or park or
right there.
In
My
these
guess
pieces.
Is that your library has more people walk in and out of the front door than any other building in the city. That's usually the case.
Does that work for you?
Well, no offense to so it. But that's a sad story to tell.
I think, you know, I think Fifth Street is such an important street in terms of connecting the Washburn to the downtown, to the Booth Kelly, the Mill Race Restaurant, all those pieces, and somehow you have to really excite these kinds of intersections. Maybe Fifth and Main is really important. Fifth and B is really kind of an essential kind of place because it's a real introduction to the civic core, the neighborhood, and you know, maybe that kind of helps when you really, if we thought about really developing some piece in here that
is an invitation
through
that.
Just a piece on, I don't think we should spend too much time on this one.
Yeah.
However, that needs this stuff. These two access points, because it doesn't. It's not a walk to the grocery store for that thing to survive. It's a drive with a, you know, a couple miles radius around it that needs to feed into it in order to make that survive. Exactly. Much like the PC Market Choice in Eugene needs that sort of thing. Yes, it's right next to the neighborhood. Some people walk to it, but not very many because you have to cart the stuff home. And so, you know, unless you have a wheelchair with a rack on the back or, you know, you're going to steal a shopping cart, you're not going to get very far with that stuff. You're going to have to drive.
Also remember the long-range plan for Glenwood is a couple thousand dwelling units right on the other side of that bridge.
Yeah.
That would be using
So we
downtown.
Want to take the bus through that section and come over there by bus.
So this diagram shows what their proposal is. So that dead zone that you were talking about, John, they're showing that this should have required 50% transparency on all these buildings whenever they're redeveloped.
On B Street?
Yeah, whereas 70% they're saying for Long Main, that's where you really, and here's the drawings to support that. So here's what a 50% would look like.
So I guess I'm just saying we need some
So
of
they're
this
trying to address that dead zone by having this active edge. So you don't have any more Justice Center blank walls.
That used freezers in a while.
That needs a big mosaic mural on that, isn't it, on that corner?
Your question again was?
Are there proposed active edges in the right place?
So that's this drawing here.
So this one actually has, around the plaza, very active edges on all sides of all the blocks.
I just would like to see an active edge go this way. And I almost don't care where it is.
Oh, like but
just draw it on
yeah. there. Yeah, here's put the green.
So give me the dark green, and so we're trying to.
Yeah.
So that's 70%. This
really,
is 50%.
We're really trying to.
As an example. And chamber zones this one, too. So you want active edge on that one? Yeah.
And probably a lot here.
I would think we want active edges on everything.
And it could just be on this here.
Unless it's in an alley or something.
Alleys are wonderful.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about that right here. If it was parking on one side, parking on the other side, and actually.
With Trader Joe's right there.
Yeah, Trader Joe's would be kind of.
Yeah, I think of Trader Joe's. When I looked at, we went up to Hillsborough with the city council and planning commissioners a couple months ago on a field trip to look at different kinds of development up there. And the planner there recommended I look at this amenity study that they had done to show what are the types of amenities that drive up the cost and the rents and people's desire to live in urban neighborhoods. And specialty grocery store, I was telling you this, Karen, was like the top thing that people want.
Especially what Netcom is doing. I mean, it's a perfect, you know, companion type of development.
Can I do this?
Sure.
Netcom isn't going to, it's not really a retail.
I know, but it's bringing people into town.
It's going to be a storefront bar, whatever it's called.
Who are foodies.
Yeah, foodies.
Is that what you wanted,
And they're thinking about some small retail spaces.
Well, storefront, as opposed to this?
Correct.
Okay. You guys?
If you have food like that, ooh, people see it. It's in there.
Trader Joe's ever talked to you?
Your store is a perfect example of that. People see activity in there. They want to be in there and do stuff.
So is that the library site?
Yes. Well,
so would that be a problem to have it on both sides?
This is on the side with the church, right here. This is where the water master is now. But this is going to be either the library site is this one or that one or a combination of all of those.
Do we have options on these properties here as far as the parking?
No. We're not actively pursuing that. At the present time, we're just doing acquisition.
Because again, whether it's a Trader Joe or anybody else, I mean, the key is going to be the parking part.
We'll just convince Springfield Utility Board to do that. We need a new board member.
Yeah, that's all I need.
You talk to my wife about that.
Sorry about that, John.
Yeah. Oh, I know Rudy.
Huh?
I know Rudy. I forgot to know
that. That's actually leased to the state of Oregon. That's the Oregon Children's Services activity.
I just want to point out to you guys, so you don't forget to see this. So South A, we're not showing anything.
You can't do it every
time. Doesn't mean that it won't happen.
It'll get it on its own based off of the ripple effect, I feel. I don't
Yeah, South A's a...
Telling them what to do.
If we only have 20,000 capacity, we should only...
And the other thing I don't want us to forget is that we want more employment in downtown, and that's what these purple areas are. And so employment, office buildings, they can have retail on the ground floor if they want, other uses, but typically they don't want to have that, or they don't want it to be required. And it's really important that we get more jobs in downtown, because we're relying on downtown as one of our key employment growth areas for our 20-year plan. So, and remember, the consultants talked about this as being a great address to have all that office development in a string like that, next to the transit center.
Wouldn't a lot of the issues as far as South A take care of themselves based on the transportation study? Because weren't they going to use South A to certain hours of the day for traffic control? So the idea being so we can open up not only with that, facilitate the two-way versus the one-way here, but also the back end of these properties, which are essentially, there's nothing there except blight.
I know, it's terrible.
You can't forget about the pedestrian improvements to make it walkable over to downtown. I mean, I've given up on getting downtown.
But that's a given. Sidewalk, bike lane, that's a given.
Okay. Looking at this, it becomes apparent, thinking about the two-way traffic, that there's going to be another lane necessary for South A. Now, it doesn't exist now. The right-of-way isn't there. But when you mention the places that are not accessing the edge and you go down and you look at all the way down, it looks like it could be widened an extra lane through there. Now, Crandall and Arambia, in their long-range vision, sees that. When is the time to really think about that?
15 years. We're not seeing enough down here.
Let's be a little more positive than that.
Well, I don't think you need...
I don't want to be in my grave.
But you don't need to have the extra width to have a lot of activity.
That's true.
You know, you could instead of letting people go through at 35 miles an hour, you could keep the pace slower and actually have to stop and look at things. And when we were looking up in Rarico Station, you could actually progress from the neighborhood through the commercial area to the more where it's a mixed use and some employment, and then down to the max system. You could actually see how they changed the frontage of the buildings like this, mm-hmm. and even the signage, so that you couldn't drive down at 35 miles an hour and look way down there and find out where you have to go. You have to go 20 miles an hour because the signs were small, mm-hmm. and they were underneath an overhang. So you had to look at those things, and so you had to drive slow.
So do we want to go to the group? I think we've answered most of the questions there.
One more?
One more. Are the proposed build-to lines appropriate?
Are these build-to lines?
Oh. You want to keep looking at it the same direction, or should I flip it? It's really confusing. See, they're showing active edges down here on the back side of these employment buildings. And I don't know if that's something we would want to have.
Well, they have a road back through there that doesn't exist now.
Right.
Or driveways.
So that's something that could be a policy, you know, when that develops, encourage, blah, blah, blah.
So they're basically building to the... zero-foot setback.
Yeah, so these pictures essentially show you what that means. So when you have your commercial and your retail, you want to have like a traditional Main Street like what we have now. And if you have residential, if you have residential, you can have a deeper setback, so you can have a little landscape.
So where do the bikes go?
The bikes typically...
Bikes would not be allowable here, would they?
It'd be in the street.
Well, there are a lot of different concepts for bike parking now that you probably are seeing get built in Eugene, where you're taking up a parking place
on
the street.
Well, not bike parking, you're just talking about
bicycling. Traveling.
Oh, bike lane.
Trafficking.
Yeah, so it's on street as far as I recall from the plan. They don't have anything that's on sidewalks.
We talked a lot about dedicated lanes.
Yeah, and
a median to separate the main from...
And A Street was like proud for them.
So this is 5th. Would you want to have setbacks where the city hall and the library are? 10-foot setbacks.
Yes.
10-foot max, it says.
Probably.
So that means you can if you want to, but you don't have to.
You don't have to. Okay.
0-foot setback means you need to be right out there. You don't want a setback.
I mean, that's pretty much what we have already on Main mm-hmm. Street, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, everything is kind of built up pretty close.
It's traditional pattern.
It's right away. It's right on the right away.
We touched on something here with bicycles and bicycle lanes on Main Street. You're just asking for trouble. There are enough feeder streets coming in from the north, and the parking places for those bikes, they shouldn't even be on the sidewalks. It could be on the feeder streets, taking a parking place either at the alley or at the corner and putting the bicycle places in a parking place so that these could be brought in and stored, because there's nothing worse for a pedestrian than going down the street and trying to fight past a bicycle or a bunch of them. So if we look at them carefully and we find a reasonable place with people that commute by bike to put them where they're fairly near, within a reasonable walking distance of where they would be going, how they're going to cart stuff back and forth. Bicycle people are pretty ingenious in being able to do that. You don't have to worry. But being sure that you don't impede your people with disposable incomes access to the storefronts is very important, and putting them on those side streets is one solution.
Well, let's all get a grant and let's go to Amsterdam.
How do you feel about the neon that you bicycle you
instead of trying to get in at right angles, you're going to have
My parking spot right out front.
Keep an eye on it.
A bikeway, dedicated bikeway along these properties on Main Street, because people are going to want to bicycle up to these and not figure out, I've got to go to Fifth Street and then take right and then go park there, and the bike's not in front of, you know, the retail establishment. And that neighborhood in Portland that we were talking about, they've integrated the bike lanes pretty well.
Bike friendliness is good advertising, too. Mm-hmm. I go places all the time in my car that are more friendly to bikers because I've seen it. I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm a biker. I may be driving my car right now, yeah. But that place is cool. You know,
so
it's true.
Would you ride your bike down Main?
Right now? No.
Mm-hmm. Well, not now.
Never.
Especially for children.
Yeah.
So bikers can't carry much on the bike purchasing. So I don't really care about bikers.
So what we're saying, we're going to have a east-west bike lane in addition to two lanes, east and west.
Can we not talk too much about the transportation?
Sure. All right, so how's the proposed build two lines? Are they appropriate?
That was the question.
Here's the question I have. On South A, you have red that goes back, and it looks like 20 to 25 feet back from the edge of the property. I don't know why, but we only have 10-foot maximum build. You can only build back 10 feet.
There's
so what
even
happens
anything
with
listed back here? Though.
John, well, I think what that is that this was an overlay done. Remember, they did the build-out diagrams to figure out the calculations of how much cost, and that's what those are taken from. And they were assuming that some additional right away might have to be purchased if we do, and that might not happen.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Don't assume that that's, just assume the whole
block. So we're really looking at the whole block being that with 10-foot maximum along the, this would be the north side of South A, south of Main Street. This is South A Street. So there wouldn't be more right away for the road, but it would just be built up to the, essentially here if we don't acquire more property for South A, which I can't imagine we're going to be doing.
Well, that's why I brought up the business.
We're not addressing it on this map, are we?
Yes, we are. This is South A here.
Oh, that's right. I'm upside down.
Yeah.
I'm
the other way around.
You're right. Yep.
That's exactly why I brought up the business about widening of South A Street, is because that land is vacant. And thinking about today's uses, maybe not necessary, but you've got to look longer than that, because if you sheetrock your walls, you ain't going to put any more wiring in, you ain't going to put any more stuff in there. And if you blindside yourself there, just how are you going to widen South A when the time comes?
We had that problem in West 11th and Eugene, because the new code allowed the build to out to the sidewalk, and now there's not enough room for the MX.
So, Robin, what have you written down as far as
for the build two lines?
Yeah.
We need to consider bike lanes for South A. Is that what I'm hearing? Because that's the build two, and that's what you guys were concerned with.
I think that was part of the plan, was bike lanes on South A and A.
So we'll need more right-of-way to do it. You can't do it in the existing right-of-way.
You bring the sheets over here for the building height?
I thought they had that separated bikeway.
Well, that's part of our notes, is that we need to have enough right-of-way to accommodate that.
On A Street.
And then South A.
Well, you know what? I think he meant A Street, because it leads right out to that bike bridge.
That was the idea. Remember, you had that separated bike lane idea.
So it's where
families could be safe. Because Main Street, there's just not enough right of way to have that.
Would you suggest having a larger buffer, a 20-foot on South A?
No.
Okay.
As far as I'm concerned,
none.
Build up to whatever
you build it up.
I cannot imagine we're going to widen South A.
Let's do this. Okay, we've got two more maps.
It'll be cheaper to think that now.
So
that
is
will
the general
be
concept,
down
what
a bunch
people
of
want
stuff.
To see is zero setback.
I can't believe that.
Ted brought over Group C. Why don't we do Group A if we run out of time? I'd rather do the zoning and then leave some time. Is that okay, Ted?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's bring this. Let's go to another table here.
I think it's the same setup except for the one sheet, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you think our feet are hardly going to play.
But it's good to walk around.
Yeah.
State highway goes, it's a state highway. Highway 5, 38.
But my comment was going to be, had there ever been any thought to just narrowing this in this area?
I'd like to really see us focus on, I think.
Just, you know, to here, everybody races like crazy to get down here anyway, but they don't need to race the first couple of blocks. And if you narrow that and make that a little more, or make it a little more controlled.
You could, there are ways of doing that.
Yeah, and then you can do good stuff this year.
Just don't forget they put in all of that stuff with the.
We get the MX.
Yeah.
MX is now in this corridor also. So we have two lanes of traffic, and we have the buses running back here.
I realize that.
So actually.
Make it one.
Well, so.
One car, one bus.
As the trees get bigger.
That's what I mean, so let's say.
As there's more activity, we're going to end up here, especially down from here to here.
Right.
You're right.
Yeah.
From here to here, we need to slow it down.
You could slow it down.
We're going to end up doing the same thing we did on Main Street, except it'll happen here.
So they're required to have.
And now in a couple of spots, we're proposing 40 places on Main Street to slow it way down and get people across.
But I'm just saying, if we're still counting on having professional space on the second and third floor, and someone's not building a new building, they're changing their use of existing building. Now, all of a sudden, we're going to have to put in a $75,000 elevator to move those second floor spaces accessible. Because,
There's existing downtown two-story buildings that currently have a walk-up. Some of them have actually stairs, so you kind of have a walk-up.
Right.
So they just have to meet whatever the new fire code is. Some of them have the entrances on. This is ARC.
Is this it? So everything on this map represents the districts, right? So it goes to D Street.
Don't confuse.
Both sides of D Street. Is this the Mill Street admin building?
Well, this is the land use.
Mill Street, here's the administrative building.
It only goes to B, except for this little area that I showed you where we need to bump out a bit.
You know, I can draw a picture.
So the Crandall plan is really all within this existing requirement plan.
Just goes to B.
Except for these areas.
So what we're asked to do is that, do we want to expand these boundaries for whatever logical purposes?
Yeah, and I think the answer to that is clearly yes, because you guys already said you have a plan that you like.
Yes.
But my question was, when we think about design standards for buildings and all of that, should there be a one-size-fits-all standard for everything? Or do you want to think about sub-districts? So like perhaps this new Island Park, Mill Plaza area in the sub-district, because I think you will be considering a lot of new construction there, whereas in this part of the city, maybe not. It's just an idea.
It seems reasonable.
It came up before when we were talking about building heights and styles and.
Think about Main Street and the nicer old historic buildings. They're kind of spread out from second all the way to eighth. And so it's not like they're really clustered in one particular place.
So in that case, it seems maybe it's treated as if it's one district.
Other than the Mill Race area being a sub-district, I agree.
Maybe.
So do you think Pioneer Parkway is a boundary, kind of?
From what to what?
Between east and west?
I mean, what's the one district versus the other?
Between kind of old downtown and this visionary new area?
Are we saying we have a problem with new construction infill in between the historic pieces? Is that what we're worried about, John?
I'm not worried about that. I would encourage it, and I think it's pretty consistent all along Main Street in terms of the height and the buildings that we have, and I would kind of like to see similar infill all the way through and not divided into sub-districts. But
now, the sub-district's more about the use than the scale of the project, isn't that right?
No, I'm thinking about it as the form, the design form. How tall buildings can be is probably the biggest one. And I think Crandall's tried to address that on their minimum building height diagram. But it doesn't get at what the maximums are. Right now, the Royal Building is 5 stories, and I believe it's the maximum allowed under the current code.
Does anyone think that's too big? It's, I mean, it's big enough, but does anyone think it's too big?
I mean, when you get into the height stuff, the setting minimums is as much a problem as a maximum, because absorption is going to be the deal.
Right.
And it's that everybody who builds in this area, I think, if it's anything like it's happening in Eugene, is going to have housing up above. Mm-hmm. Because housing is the only thing that you can rent month by month. And so you're always safe as a developer. You're safer as a developer.
Mm-hmm. Because predictable you can cash flows.
Yeah, well, I mean, you don't have to commit to 30 cents a square foot when you really didn't want to for 2 years.
Yeah, right.
So is the issue having something that seems to be a bit daunting when you walk along it? So if you have a whole street of Royal Buildings or a whole block of Royal Buildings on both sides, is that too much of a canyon to be in? Is that really what the concern is?
Maybe you do something like setting back part of the top floor or something.
We were just up in Portland, and there's and also in Honolulu, there was this 3-story building. It looked like, until you sort of got back about 2 blocks, and you look like, no, the rest of that building is up 40 stories.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's 3 stories. It's called a pedestal and a tower. So you have 3 stories of building, and then the interior to that, substantially back, is the tower, which really doesn't dominate the horizon at all.
Well, it's the same way with Cascade Manor over in Eugene on 29th. Yep. You know, you've got the garden condos facing 29th, and then behind is the tower. But you really, your eyes are attracted to the, you know, the low-rise condos, you know, 2 stories.
It's not overwhelming.
Yeah.
As long as we appreciate the cultural areas, the historical cultural areas that we have, such as the older buildings, I don't see too much of an issue if all of them are, the rest were a height of 5 stories, because you'd still have those that were 2 stories and 3 stories that are down below. So it wouldn't look like a valley necessarily. And when you're up on the hill nearby, it's still below the hill. Because it has to be like 8 to 9 stories, I think.
If this is the area that could do a lot of shading on the main street, because it's not where you're going to build, it's not wide enough really to set.
Yep.
Right.
To set chop back off part of an upper floor to give you light.
But do you think this should be limited to 5 stories?
No, I'd just take that whole thing out and wait till you got and call it a special area that nothing happens to until you. Until you get a proposal.
We split it at Mill Street or
West.
Pioneer Parkway.
Pioneer Parkway. But.
And the soil in that area, who knows if they could even build it higher than 5 stories.
That one actually can,
A lot of real hard stuff under there.
The reason I ask is they were showing a higher building in this. Yeah.
Which a lot of people freaked out about.
I think theirs was 7.
And we are allowing tall buildings in Glenwood.
Yeah.
Well, if they approve.
Well, let's get one in first.
Let's count those chickens.
So let's go. What's the first question?
Okay. Sub-districts allow more specific development standards and land uses to be applied rather than a one-size-fits-all approach to zoning. Should the downtown refinement plan have sub-districts?
I'd like to get in on that. Right there, because Springfield has been in the paper, I don't know how many times, as being very friendly to developers and builders. And it's a good reputation to have, especially when people are spending big dollar bills to do stuff. And everything west of Mill Street, it's hard to envision what might come in there. And you gotta be flexible. So right off the bat, I think that everything west of Mill Street should definitely be a sub-district. Now, there may be others, but that one, for myself, should be a sub-district.
So that would be.
It gives you the flexibility as a city to.
Greater heights over there, maybe not higher than the trees.
Especially since there's so much conjecture here. And we've talked about, you know, the office, you know, the hotel, the combination, well, in this case, probably not the conference center, but. So I guess it's certainly a case could be made. Any other areas that people think might be conducive to put a sub-district?
People were talking about the this area. I don't know what would their. I could see the idea of it, but whoever was mentioning it, I'd like to hear more on why they would want that as a sub-district.
What about here?
Is that the area maybe? They said something basically.
They were talking about conference center
east
there.
Of mm-hmm. Pioneer Parkway, Parkway East. They said be in a sub-district, but. I don't know what they had mentioned.
This is actually a site proposed for the new, no, here, the new VA clinic. Hmm.
Now, that area in pink, is that the where that mill property is, or am I looking at it wrong?
It's
right.
Lithia.
That's Lithia.
Lithia Toyota.
Yeah. That's Lithia.
Yeah, that's a special commercial district right now.
That's another one that's really tough to figure out what it's going to turn into. And I don't think we should lock ourselves into a specific thing there, because somebody comes in and wants to do something, we're going to have to look at it carefully.
So I think question one is, we think that there should be sub-districts because of Mill Street specifically.
So isn't it the case that the single district that could be proposed is more open than what's currently in the development code? Mm-hmm. So we're already proposing as one district more uses than we currently have. And so if we're asking that, or saying that west of Mill is going to be even more open than the opening we've already created, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, we really don't have a PR problem. We're already saying do more.
It might be, and now we're it saying might be do less than more. More. I mean, it might yeah. might be that we restrict what
west
happens
of Mill?
West of Mill.
Yeah, it could go either way.
Totally employment.
But, you know, I'm just raising the question of, yeah. do you want the standard to be uniform throughout this whole thing, or do you want to have a standard that maybe keeps the building heights lower to, say, 5 stories in the traditional Main Street area and allow it to go higher elsewhere? Because that's really, I think building height is what I'm hearing the issue is, but it might be style of
building
as well.
So if it's residential, one of the things that we've had for residential issues in the past, when you have single families across the way, you don't want to get more than 3 stories mm-hmm. facing that edge. And right. they may already have that in the plan. Mm-hmm. But that may be one way of sort of reducing, I'll call it the overhang into the neighborhood for the residential.
Yeah, they had it stepped down to 2, and that was on one of the other tables.
One thing that Ted brought up I think is really good is that this represents a significant change from what we currently have.
Yeah.
And if we're trying to sell this and get people, you know, the buy-in yeah. and whatever else, maybe looking at it in terms of, you know, the integrated, you know, plan and not having another sub-district here that where there's still, you know, a lot of conjecture and then a lot of questions about why the sub-district there and why not here, unless there's a lot of reasons why we would need to carve, you know, part of the district out. And I'm not so sure that we need to do that, but mm-hmm.
so
that's why we're
smart ourselves.
Pardon?
So yeah. we don't outsmart ourselves.
Exactly.
Do SDC incentives come into this discussion at all in terms of a sub-district that might
We're looking.
SDC
you see the
incentives?
Red? That's the only place we're looking for incentives at this point.
Okay.
We have an incentive over the whole downtown right now, and it's not enough to stimulate development on its own, because it's really a fairly small amount of money relative to a development. So we just said, well, let's focus just on the red and see if we could actually pay for the SDCs instead of just forgive half of them. We'll may pay for all of them. We may even pay for all the MLAs. We don't know yet. So that's
well, John, you made a very important statement about the light fall from
yeah,
the south side of the
Crandall
street.
Randall has already got it.
Will shed shadows toward the north,
yeah.
especially during the wintertime. Now, along Main Street, I think we're high enough. I think we really need to maintain a lower elevation, especially along the north side, because there's, you know, it's hard enough to light it as it is. and certainly light attracts people.
So right now we allow approximately 5 stories, and that allows somebody to do a 4-over-1 building.
Maybe we need to revisit that, because you wouldn't have any light on the south side of Main Street at all in the wintertime.
We don't have any light in the first place.
Does anyone else think that building heights should be reduced from what they currently are? I mean, from what's currently allowed, which is about 5 stories.
As a maximum.
Well,
let's just stop for just a second. So we're in the building height, but we need to finish, you know, the this. And one of the questions is, should we extend the boundaries? Well, we can see that the Crandall-Arambula boundaries are considerably less than what you see on the map here. So do we expand the boundaries to what we see on the big map versus what was originally just B Street? Because in this case, it goes to D Street.
Oh, I say yes.
I would think so, too.
Yeah. Because if that's really an appropriate place for a grocery, and a grocery is something
for
we want, yes.
Okay.
We want to be able to provide for
you guys were kind of talking about this area.
Okay. For the map. That's the easiest way to do it.
We're talking about adding this to the downtown refinement plan. And this to the downtown refinement plan.
That half.
And a little piece between 6th and 7th, south side of B, sort of this right here. For some reason, that wasn't in the original plan. This is the oldest refinement plan in the city.
Yeah,
it was
1982.
Yeah, it's
antique. One district.
So there's
apartment
complex. That's probably fine.
District.
And that's
sub-districts.
Okay. But for zoning, which is your development standards about building height, setback, transparency, all of that, uses. I think you could easily say that Booth Kelly is its own sub-district and the rest of it is one. But if you want to have another one where less restriction on height or something else could be done without having everybody come unglued saying, oh my God, that's too tall.
Wasn't that a given in the beginning that Booth Kelly would be treated a little bit differently?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes.
I mean, let's just call that. If we have a sub-district, that's the Booth Kelly.
I would only say Booth Kelly south of the tracks.
Okay.
North of the tracks, you've got this area, which is in purple along here. That's Booth Kelly in that area there.
Okay.
And the area down at the
south
far
of the tracks
end.
Then, okay.
Yeah.
They actually have the transit station, because this is a transit station site.
Yeah.
It's actually in the Booth Kelly.
That's right. It's in the Booth Kelly mixed-use
district. Mixed-use.
So it would, that's why I said just south of the tracks would be the better piece, because it's really a completely different beast.
So should I draw that or try to draw it?
Except
for I can't see the tracks on
that's
this map.
How many levels is that envisioned to be? Is that taller than 50 feet?
Can you see it, John?
Well, but it is. Is it this line right here?
Well, currently at least a minimum height of 3 stories, it looks like.
No, the railroad's back here, because this is South A. This is the transit.
It goes like this.
What is it
here, like that?
And
the track goes over the railroad. That's the railroad right away right there.
It kind of, it's like this right here.
Yep.
Exactly.
That's definitely true.
That, you know, 3 floors would not be a blight.
It really kind of follows that.
The other thing that comes into play, I know this is dull zoning stuff, but when they adopted the downtown nodal development area, they left the transit center is not in that node. So this orange area is nodal development. That means it's pedestrian, walkable, no auto-oriented uses. But the transit station is outside of that. And I can tell you that one of the uses that's not permitted in the node is a park and ride.
Oh.
And so they wanted a park and ride, so I bet you that's why it's not in the node.
So can I ask a question?
I'm trying to clean up all these weird overlays, all of that, and just make it clear and easy.
If we have, one fits all district, but then have something in the code regarding solar infringement or solar setbacks, would that play into effect on to how tall some of these buildings, even though it says, well, typically you could build up to 5 stories, but because you're casting a shadow in a certain area. I mean, what might kind of control to say, well, you're limited to 38 feet instead of 75 feet or something.
John, I think if you impose solar standards in downtown, you wouldn't get any.
Okay. I was just trying to say, well, how do you
you set the top floor back, or anything over so far in height has to be set back a little bit or something.
Right. We actually do that.
And typically, you know, like along your Washburn neighborhood edge, which is going to be a topic of next meeting, but maybe we don't need it.
And the uniformity of...
is that you would have something like that.
The uniformity of this one district also would include west of Mill Street being no higher than what everything else is.
If you assigned one size fits all, you'd have to say what that limit would be. Or if you don't have any limits, and I think you're going to have some people, like some of the Historic Commission members might think that's too extreme.
Let me ask this question. So, I guess maybe Tom, I'll pose this to you. Based on commercial office use, I mean, how many square feet do you need to have in order to essentially make it feasible? I mean, do you need 50,000 square feet? Do you need 100,000 square feet? Does that dictate somewhat in terms of what you're looking at, a footprint, how high you need to go in order to justify, you know, the actual...
I think you need to be realistic about Springfield. One reason Eugene works when it does is because it's a county seat, and they've got all this. I mean, you've got a city hall, and that's and sub, and that's about it down here as far as public stuff. But a courthouse just, I mean, that, it just is a magnet for attorneys and all sorts of, you know, cries for office space. You don't have that here, so you'll fill it if you don't overdo it. But look at the Citizens Bank building in downtown Eugene. It took, I don't know how many years, for that one building, to the absorption in that one building, things to happen so that we're ready for another building. I mean, it's been years.
Yeah. So it was all sucked up by the one building.
Yeah, it was sucked up by one building, and then of course a lot of things move outward too, and you've got a lot of stuff that isn't in downtown Springfield, office space and stuff. So.
So are we really talking at this point more in terms of the aesthetics, the shadows, the just the composition, you know? John, you know, in terms of, as an architect, I mean, what are your thoughts on the height stuff?
Well, you know, the heights I'm comfortable with are 3 and 4 story. Yeah. You know, 5 stories okay, but I wouldn't want a solid block of 5 stories. So,
yeah.
You know, that always seems to be a real comfortable kind of scale. You can embellish a building in a certain way and setbacks and fenestration to make that, you know, feel real comfortable at 3-4 story.
Okay.
I don't think that would happen.
But I wouldn't want to limit someone to say they can't build a 5-story somewhere.
So you might want to say is that if it's a 3-story building, you do a setback like this one, or 5 stories.
Step back.
Yes.
What's that, 15 feet?
Yeah.
And that gives you a sense of 3 stories, mm-hmm. and then it's set back a little bit so it doesn't look like 5 stories. The Royal Building would be the exception in our downtown right now because it's basically blocky until story 4, and there's a couple of indentations on one side of it, at least.
But getting back to your solar issue, is if you have this one's called the street wall, so whatever the facade along the street, that's the street wall. Typically, some codes will have a street wall maximum, and then you have to go over. It complicates the architecture and drives up the cost, I would think, wouldn't it?
That'd be a rare case.
No?
Sure.
No.
Well, I've just heard some critique by architects about when you require too many articulations and things like that. There's places for water to get in.
Oh, architects don't mind articulations. It's the builders that complain about it.
And the owners.
To me, that's more of a what-if issue.
But, you know, you can have no maximum building height, too, and just let the market do what it does.
So I have to go, but I want to mention that the Main Street Design Subcommittee, which I'm on and Karen is on and Neil is quasi in charge of, although he's in charge of all of them, we have a work session with the city council on February 13th talking about potential design guidelines for Main Street, facade improvement possibilities for Main Street. We've got four or five or six things that we're going to present to the council in a work session. I think it would be fantastic for as many people from this committee who want to see.
February 13th?
13th. On the 13th, Monday evening. And so I can email everyone and let them know that we're going to be there. But I think it'll be an interesting presentation. It'll be very good to hear what the council's impressions are of what we'd say to them and to be able to bring that back to educate further our discussions. So,
well, we're kind of coming to a close here tonight. Robin, have we addressed the height questions?
There was actually no height question. It was just districts and boundaries.
Yeah, she was really.
So did we decide that we were going to treat this as one size fits all, but draw the line on the south of the railroad tracks and say that's a completely different beast?
One thing.
Okay.
And you can always change your mind later once you get into more of the.
I'm not drawing an exception to these couple of pieces. Mm-hmm. That
and my impression on the height issue of anything exceeding five stories. Once you have 25% of downtown that's at the five stories, 20 years from now, then you can discuss, do we push this up?
Yeah.
Right.
But that's not for us to talk about, I think, after five stories.
If we get close, we'll probably have other discussions at that time.
Yeah.
So, Linda, have we achieved in part?
Yeah. I'm still not sure if I heard the right, I heard what you really meant for the new area.
My impression. Five stories is plenty fine for a maximum. Let the people 20 years from now discuss the issue if it should be higher than that.
So if Chambers comes in and they want a six-story building,
like
can
six
they
for them.
Just think that's appropriate?
Five stories.
I mean, you've got to be pragmatic about this.
You shouldn't split it off.
We have a five-story building now that doesn't seem to be a blight on the landscape, which is a royal building.
Although this is different because it changes the relationship between the plaza and the river. So
yes.
I mean, I think that I was one of the people who freaked out when we saw the original spec with that building.
Or lower.
Yeah.
So you think it should
be a library building?
Or
another public building.
So if somebody comes in and says, you know, we've got the money, we've got, you know, we want to build six stories. That's our plan. Great. Are we going to say no?
Maybe.
If the code
we would,
doesn't allow it, you make
else,
them jump through the regulatory
hoops. Well, I know, but I think these are the questions that we need to address.
And remember the parking issue. Because to do structured parking, you got to have, you know, enough development to pay for that. So.
So they can't see the river now.
They could do at least one step back, three stories up, if they want to go six.
But really, the only piece of dirt,
five and a penthouse,
that would accommodate a five-story building is here, right?
You know, the one downtown.
No way. Somebody could tear down a block on Main Street and put another five-story building, or it could be.
So it sounds like you guys think sub-district on West Up Mill Street is an appropriate idea. And I think that's fine. I just think that there needs to be uniformity in the districts that they have.
So what if, like, one of these lots were 5 feet? So can we go there? Because, I mean, this butts up to homes. Would that piss people off to have a five-foot building next to their home?
We're showing residential there. This is yellow.
Is it different?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, Eugene has that problem over by the university. And what they did is they didn't stop at 19th Street, which is where they should have stopped. And they made, on University Street, they made it R4 all the way to 20th. And the only reason they did that was because there was a sorority down there and it had to be ours to four zoned.
Huh.
So instead of changing the zoning to a fraternity or sorority zone, they've really screwed it up because they come to R3 halfway between 19th and 20th. Without any alleys, and you have alleys here, so at least you have some break.
Gotcha.
Whereas
right.
they're breaking lots in two and stuff.
Okay.
So is the last question that we need to address, is it going to be four stories, five stories, six stories, or we're going to readdress this?
That's minimum.
Minimum of three.
Yeah.
I'd be careful about how high you are on the on the stuff next to South A, because that's just the one place that's going to shadow where you can't chop the...
And also, when you're coming into town, and if you have something too tall, it might...
But are you making this in the district so it can go to any place?
I don't know, it's just...
Can you guys, sorry, can you guys talk one at a time, because I'm taping this, because otherwise I'm not going to be able to do minutes.
So my suggestion is, based off of what I've heard and just roundabout ideas, sub-district on west of Mill Street, that of any height.
With no height, is that what you said?
Yeah, with no height limit.
Okay.
My suggestion is east of either 6th or 7th, a maximum height of 4 stories or 3 stories. The idea that you can be able to level it out for the housing that's east of that. That's my suggestion.
If I would suggest, if it's facing single-family residential, that it has a step back if it's above 3 stories. Just so you, right now, most of the code is maximum 3 stories facing single-family residential.
Well, with that in mind, we want to then change what we indicated relative to sub-districts and say 2 sub-districts south of the Booth Kelly property, but not along South A Street.
South of the
property
tracks.
Back here.
Yeah, south of the tracks.
And then have the second sub-district, because of this height conjecture, be here.
West of Mill, yes.
Yeah. What does everybody think about that?
I'm looking at what the consultants recommended, and they brought the...
That's 3 stories for the...
3-story minimum area over
that's
to...
That's 3-story minimum
Park
for
Way
the
East.
Grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
Getting Pioneer Park. That's big.
Because there again, they're thinking about the dollars that it's going to take to...
Becky, you can't... Wow.
And they're recommending a maximum of 2 stories along the neighborhood there, not 3. I think 3 is probably too tall.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. 2.
So 2 stories.
For that scale of
and
neighborhood,
if it's taller,
it's
historic then it's a step back.
And what street is maximum of 2-story?
Along B.
B and?
The south side of B.
Okay.
Because, see, here's where you have the, you've got the Washburn.
So between B and 6th Street to, and between A and B Street, 6th Street and eastward has a height of no higher than 2 stories.
2 stories. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's minimums.
Yeah, that is.
See this hatched area? This is the only area where they're saying there should be a maximum, so keep it low.
Oh.
They're saying that shouldn't be any higher than 2 stories because you got the Washburn neighborhood here. This one, they don't have that, so I don't know what's on this lot.
I think the maximum should be 3 stories, personally.
Okay, well, let's get some closure.
I know. Would you want it?
I agree.
No, you'd have a lot.
So closure, okay. Do we want to add another sub-district here?
West of Mill? How do you do?
What do you mean, another one? I thought we already had one.
No, we didn't. The only sub-district we had was the Booth Kelly.
Well, I think we should.
Call it the Opportunity District.
That's the...
I call it the River District on my...
That's kind of how I feel about it, that it should be an Opportunity District. And I would say bring it all the way over to Pioneer Parkway.
Okay.
Because there's nothing really
to preserve. Because there's
going to
be so much new construction.
I'd be actually a lot happier with it if we brought it even all the way up here.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, if there's only one thing that... fits that character that it has to be built here because
it allows some more creative.
It allows for new construction, which it will be up to that point. And infill from here over, probably.
So, John, take the pen and let's put what we consider this sub-district.
Do we want to include
Pioneer,
these pieces or just from Main Street? That would be, we know that we want to,
why don't we go?
But do we want to jog here? We're going to do this.
Yeah, I would.
So.
Okay.
But is it here or does it?
I'd say along South A.
South A.
Because there's a lot of unused space there.
You could have iconic architecture come in there.
Just simply call it
in our dream.
West Downtown.
What do we call
it? So do you got a name for that?
Opportunity
Zone. I originally said the River District, but Opportunity sounds good. Might bring more in. So what was that? What was the street up there that's north? Oh, you went around the potential.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it needs to be all part of it.
See that?
Okay.
Good job. Right. I think we're officially adjourned, but if you want to hang around and talk a little bit more among yourselves, that's great. I have to leave because of the out-of-town stuff.
Or email me names if you think of any cool names. I mean, I think Booth Kelly is the name that's going to stick to that property forever. It just says this historic.
I don't want Opportunity Zone to be laughed at later on 5 years from now when you have prostitution there.
The ozone.
What was the old spring? What's the old spring that's kind of over there somewhere?
Spring in the Field. That's actually where it is. On B Street.
Do we have to name it right now?
No.
Can we just say these are the bad ones?
We don't have to name it ever.
Those are prostitutions.
No, that's kind of sad.
All right, so when do we... originally.
But we can refer something to refer to it.
Yeah. When do we want to meet again?
I'm not sure. What do you think?
I mean, I don't know. I mean...
if we meet in another month, I could... definitely have a lot of more.
You'd want to meet after Ted's been to the city council.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be after the 13th of February.
Well, why don't you, I'll put some dates down, okay?
Okay.
Anything else for the good of the order?
Well, we didn't go over the Main Street stuff, so I guess we'll do that next week. That's when Neil was here.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Sorry, Neil. Well, he said he had to see this.
I really am excited to see this.
Yeah.
I've been looking forward to it.
You're welcome.
Yeah, we needed some time with this as a committee because I personally haven't even been looking at this for a long time. So.
No, it's exciting.
I really appreciate
and I like
all your work.
How everything came up. Everyone came up with
it. Different feel than it does.
Thanks for coming. So are we adjourned?
I think so.
I will post this.